Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the jewels.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful and warm Southern California. Wow, has this been a week? Emotions are flying high for everyone I meet, including myself. There's quite a bit of fear in the air, and it's coming from all directions. So perhaps we just need to stop and take a deep breath and slow down. We kind of need to shoot out a rocket of desire for some clarity of the issues at hand. Our perceptions may be a bit skewed, so we also need to be determined to look at things from different and all sides. Well, for me, last week has been a roller coaster emotionally. Thank goodness I have so many wonderful healers as personal friends. My father is into his second week in the hospital, and they finally discovered lymphoma, in which he has begun chemo treatment just a few hours ago. And here's my issue on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I often, very often, bring on alternative health practitioners and scientists that talk about the lack of training of doctors and how they're not really looking into these new ideas that are very, very successful. So it appears my thoughts have been stuck in a position. Now, my father's belief is in traditional medicine, but I found myself getting agitated and continuously thinking about those doctors and nurses and hospital administrators that don't know what the blankety blank they're doing. And guess what happened? My lack of trust in doctors and hospitals manifested right into my reality, into pure chaos. I actually found myself demanding better care from the nurses and even the doctors. I mean, I got right in their face. I was pounding on the desk and just saying, you know, come on, my dad needs help here. He's getting weaker and weaker. And I felt so powerless to do anything. So I had created all of this fear and stress for myself. But I knew it wasn't, if I didn't start taking control, my dad would have been ignored. And it was getting worse, all the chaos. And then the discussion on chemo and his weakened conditions. And my thoughts were that he wasn't going to make it through chemo. And I cried to my friends who were right there for me, Dee Wallace, Kristen White, Susan Cotter, and many more who kept me focused and who kept me telling me that it was my fears and my thoughts were manifesting out. Thank God for those friends. I had to stop my worries immediately and begin to tell myself that I absolutely trust the doctors and nurses, and that they want my dad to survive, and they truly do know what is best, even if it goes counter to every medical procedure discussed on the show and the books I read. I just had to let go and realize that it's all Dad's decision to live and die, and it's his belief system on healing that's going to help him heal. Bottom line, everything that I was doing was making it worse for him. It's interesting insight that I had to force myself to let go, which is not an easy feat. We all know that. But if I don't let go and trust in the angels or God or the field, then all I'm going to do is cause more chaos and havoc, and that's just going to hurt him in the long run. And so I've had enough of that. I want to be there for my dad. I want to nurture him back to health, and I can do that. But more importantly, I've got to adjust my emotions to understand that everything is going to turn out the way it's supposed to. It may be my dad's time to go, and I can't change that. I can't change his life's contract. But if I can adjust my emotions away from fear and vibes that I'm putting out, it's going to be healthier for him and for me. So I changed my attitude, and guess what happened? My dad was transferred to another floor and received the most wonderful, sweet, kind, nurturing nurse who is helping him through everything. She knows everything about chemo, and she has been answering our questions. She's just been delightful. And when I changed my attitude about the oncologist, everything is getting so much easier, and there's so much less fear. So I have changed my opinion to be that Dad is safe in his own beliefs about healing and safe within the arms of traditional medicine, and he's going to be fine. One way or another, he's going to be fine. I just have to choose to give up the fear. And you know what? It feels so much better. So, before we go on to tonight's show, let's listen to our wonderful sponsors.
Come aboard. Join us for a very exciting and transformative experience on Law of Attraction Radio Network's Cruise to Transformation. All of our talk show hosts are inviting you to their workshops aboard Carnival Cruise Lines out of the Port of San Diego to Ensenada, located in Baja California. Three glorious nights aboard the cruise ship Elation as we depart on November 6, 2009. We will mix and mingle and learn together as our team of experts set out to take you on a mystical journey of transformation. You will understand how truly magnificent you are as you discover the awesome power of your connection to the field through sheer joy. We want you to come because through you, this knowledge will ripple out to the world. The entire 3-day cruise is so affordable, you can even request payments. Contact your favorite host and tell them to sign me up. Sign up today to reserve your spot. It's easy and affordable because it's how we're going to change the world through knowledge, joy, and pure excitement. So come along, join us as we learn, play, form deep new friendships, and become transformed. For more information, go to loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com. See you aboard the Elation on November 6. Access your forgotten abilities to create a happy and joyful life that is filled with abundance through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Listen to shows that will inspire and uplift your consciousness, required to fulfill your desires, by downloading your favorite shows to your MP3 player. Join us at loaradionetwork.com. That's loaradionetwork.com.
Well, we're back. Hey, I want to give special thanks for my friend and listener, Bob, who has sent me his wonderful inventions, and he has just gifted me with a wonderful learning opportunity. And I'm going to talk more about this later, but Bob, if you're out there listening tonight, I want you to know how grateful I am for you and how much you have actually touched my life. I truly appreciate you, so thank you so much. And next week we have Amy Racina, who wrote Angels in the Wilderness. Now, this is a true account of what happened to her when she was camping alone in the mountains. Incredible and very inspirational story that will make your problems and issues today seem very small in comparison. You will gain such great hope. So tune in next week to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Now I want to introduce Chris Steins, who is the founder of WOW, which is the Women of Wisdom Foundation and the award-winning author of Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Wisdom. Chris formed the first Women of Wisdom Conference in 1993 in Seattle, and it's going strong and bringing together women's leaders from many fields to share their experiences and help build a world in which women's voices are heard and feminine wisdom can be lived to the fullest. Well, being a woman, I sincerely appreciate what answers this book gives to specific questions like, what can women offer the world? And what gifts reside in the depths of feminine spirit? So we're going to have a great time tonight talking about where the world is headed and where women fit in. Welcome, Chris, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you. So, Chris, tell us, before we even get into the book, why you created this woman's conference to begin with. What inspired you to do it? It's such a wonderful idea.
Well, the inspiration came from reading a book, The Feminine Face of God, by Patricia Hopkins and Sherry Anderson. And it's a compilation of different women from different spiritual backgrounds. And I loved their stories. I loved reading the book. And I was on the board at Seattle Unity Church. And it occurred to me, it was a few weeks after reading the book, I just had this inspirational thought, kind of like a download from the universe coming in of like, we should have women like these come in, you know, do a series of women, to hear women leaders, hear their stories, see women leader role models. And then it occurred to me it would be best as a conference to create community and women coming together and do a week-long conference. And so that's where the idea came from. Building up to it many years was me saying my mission was to bring people together, which I never really knew exactly what it was about until this evolved and manifested in 1993. So I just went to the minister and they said, go for it. So I got women friends together at the church and we planned the first conference. We planned a conference, I should say, not knowing what it was really meant to be. The first night I got up and said, welcome to the first annual conference, and voila, you know, there we are. Now we're into our 18th year. So it's been kind of an evolution. We've been many years of doing an eight-day conference, which is, from an organizational standpoint, is nuts. I don't recommend it to anybody. But it was great to just immerse yourself in the feminine wisdom and goddess, hearing many, you know, speakers come. It was very experiential. Our format is longer workshops, experiential. They're smaller numbers of people at them. And we'd have evening special events of hearing, you know, great keynote talks from people like Jean Chenoweth-Bowen, Jean Houston, Angela Zarian, many of our great authors and in the women's movement. And then we'd have lots of workshops, and we have concerts and performances. And now we're more reasonable, a four-day conference. And, so, and then in 1998, I created the foundation, the nonprofit organization. We separated from Unity Church and have been on our own and doing, still growing, still doing our work out there to bring, you know, our contribution towards bringing the balance of the feminine and the man, you know, in our world that's so needed in our healing, and empowering women. You know, the subtitle of the book, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women, and that's basically what we do at the conference, is it's a place where women can explore their dreams, explore their things they want to work on from many different angles. And we bring in a variety of workshops with different themes of, you know, like movement or art or personal transformation, you name it. So it's just an immersion into the feminine and into being with a community of women.
So is it the mission is to help empower women to expand up more, to reach out, to grab their voice, to do things that they thought they couldn't do before?
Yeah, to expand themselves. Yeah, I definitely, when I go out and talk to people and women particularly, you know, from the book, it is for women to find their voice, to become more visible, to be a leader, and that, which doesn't mean being a, you have to be a leader of an organization or of a company or anything like that. It's being a leader of your own life, of really living your dreams. What, you know, a lot of us have set aside their dreams because they're taking care of other people. You're taking care of kids.
Mm-hmm.
families, your household, everything, and you've had to set aside your dreams. And then when you get a little older, you go, oh, well, I didn't do what I wanted to do. But, you know, it's never too late.
Right.
So we got this great baby boomer generation of women who are, you know, free now to be really exploring and doing what they always wanted to do. I think women are doing that.
Well, what is this? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying they need support. You know, we all need support, and that's what we provide. Yeah.
What do you see for women in the future? Are we expanding enough to break all of the barriers? I mean, we still haven't been successful in having a woman president yet. Are we getting to that point where we're expanding enough?
I think it's a process. I don't think, no, we haven't yet, but we've made a lot of progress. But you think of the progress that the feminists did in the 70s, and yet we're still at, what do they say, 70% of salaries of men. You know, we're still struggling with a lot of the same issues, and yet I feel like we've made progress. And I think there's this new rebirth for women, and there's this great opportunity out there to really do what you can do. And I just think it's important for women to really, you know, stop hiding, you know, really get out there. We're used to being the ones backing everybody else up.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be doing what's our dreams and being in the forefront, pushing ourselves. We need to push ourselves more, I think.
Right. We need to push ourselves more or expand ourselves. What does self-esteem have to do with it for women?
Oh, I think a lot. I think we feel we don't have that confidence, the sense that we could do it. Or we look around and we go, well, so-and-so's doing it. Somebody else is doing it. There's not room for me. And yet we all have unique gifts to share. And we might look and go, well, they're doing what I want to do. And then we think there's not a space for us. And there is. There's always a place because you have your unique way of doing it. Many people have written books, you know, Woman of Wisdom, about, you know, feminine wisdom and all this, and yet my book's unique, you know, and it's helped and a lot of people, and women write me how it's changed their lives. And if I sit back and don't do the book, I'm not giving of service of what I have, the gifts I have. I mean, we need to be thinking in terms of it's a gift and it's part of our service to give our gifts out there in the world, and to not hide them, to not feel they're valuable, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's gift is valuable. And so we do have to do that inner work of finding that self-esteem and knowing that what we have is unique and valued. And I think part of the problem is the feminine isn't honored and respected and valued in society. We don't see it honored out there. And this isn't a gender thing, but the masculine way is the mode that everybody works in business and work, you know, out there, and so that's what we see as being honored, which is the action, the doing of everything, and women are about process and about being, and we need to honor that. Needs to come into to balance everything out. We need to bring those gifts, and unless we do it, we can sit and, you know, wait to be asked, and we'll be waiting forever. But we have to bring them forward, and we step into it. We take the stage and claim it.
So we don't really need to focus in so much on what other people think about us. We need to just grab a hold of us and, you know, and just start believing in ourselves to move forward, right?
Yes, and I think one of the best ways to do it, one of the things that we promote at Women of Wisdom is women circles. Get the support you need. You know, so you do feel that value, and it can just be a close, you know, just a couple of women friends. Something spontaneously has happened to me in the last few months where we said, let's get together, and it's turned into a circle of support. We get together now once a month, every 6 weeks or once every 2 months, and we always check in with each other, and what are you doing now, and what support do you need, and we just support each other in our growth. And I think a circle where you can share and have a talking circle and share what's going on with you. You have people listening to you, and you have people validating who you are and supporting you in your growth and the steps that you're thinking of taking or are taking. And then you feel that helps build your self-esteem, because you're being validated by others. You're being witnessed. And we need that. Sometimes we're kind of isolated and we don't think anybody's going to appreciate this. Well, if we don't speak it, don't have a place to speak it, we're not going to know that people are going to appreciate it. So make a circle. Just bring together two or three people, you know, once a month or whatever it takes, and start talking and sharing your lives and sharing your dreams and validating and supporting each other.
Okay, that's good. Is it? I know I belong to women groups before, and the habit I got into with the groups is that it just turned into a giant complaint festival. I mean, are there rules or something that you can keep it uplifted? I mean, we're law of attraction, so anything that we project out, we get back. So is there rules or something with circles? What do you recommend?
Well, there's a great book by Christina Baldwin called Calling the Circle. So one of the things is to create your ground rules. So if you are getting into that, so you're just having sessions of complaining, you may state, you know, you might create rules that we're going to keep things positive. You know, what's your purpose? Creating a purpose, creating a center, having, if it needs be, having a talking stick or a talking stone. And if someone's, you know, what happens sometimes is we get caught in our story and we're always repeating it. And it may be a different story, but it's really the same story. Is to help each other reflect back, like, you know, I've heard this before. What steps are you doing to change this? You know, that kind of support. We can support. It's not being supportive to just keep listening to that kind of, you know, talk and letting versus the best thing, gift you might give them is letting them know, like, you know what, this is old. I don't want to hear this anymore in a kind, loving way.
Sure.
You know, which would just be what I do need to hear from you is what do you need from us to support you? How can you make a change? What do you see some steps you could make to get out of the cycle? Because they're just caught in a cycle. You know, when you things. You're just caught in a cycle. And if it's not this thing, it's going to be the next thing. And it's a matter of reframing, and I think you can have your friends can help you reframe things to the positive.
Absolutely. What just happened just a few days ago with my friends telling me, hey, get rid of the fear. And I, you know what? I never even saw that it was there. I just knew that I was emotionally upset, and they detected it right away. And you know that shifted me almost immediately. So thank goodness I can see the validity of having a good circle of friends and support system. Oh, my gosh, that could really help you expand at a much faster level.
And they talk about mastermind. It's almost like a mastermind group. And and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to create a mastermind group to do it. Like I said, these friends of mine, there's four of us bringing together, and it seems like we've created a mastermind group without even planning it. And it's not like, you know, because we just don't get together and chit-chat. It's serious. And we just got together Friday. We're helping somebody move. So we're doing the concrete of helping her start packing boxes. But as we're doing it, we're checking in like, hey, what's going on with you now? You know? So there's lots of different ways you can do it. But it's just taking the time. It's taking the time for yourself. And to not feel that that's being selfish, you have to do self first. So you can't take care of other people. And we just give so much until we're drained, you know, and then we have nothing else to give. And that's often the state that women get into because they don't take time for themselves. You need to nurture yourself. And
absolutely, absolutely. So what? How do women get taken seriously in the world? How do we, I mean, do we need to be aggressive to be a leader, or how are we supposed to act in the world?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think we have to be aggressive. I think we have to be strong in ourselves. When you're authentic and true to yourself and your own voice, I think we have to be clear. I think one of the things is important to find the clarity. And so that takes practice of learning how to speak, and that's another reason to have a support group and start sharing your story and talking. You get clearer, you know, and it's important to be clear. And I think you're taken seriously when you are clear. This is what you see, or this is what you want, or this is how we can solve this problem. It's being really clear. And sometimes it may be focusing, to me that means focusing on what are the three crucial elements here? What's the core that I'm looking for here? You know, you can't change the world. What things can I focus on? not 100 different things, because then we're scattered. And that's kind of the feminine, you know, we think of, you know, that's sort of a stereotype of what a woman is. You know, she's scattered, she's doing everything, and that's not true. It doesn't have to be. It's just we're involved in process. We're very into being inclusive. You know, one of the feminine traits to talk about, the inclusivity. But we also are involved, we co-create. We like to collaborate and co-create. And women can get, we process. So we can get into processing, but we can over-process and not get to action. So we need that balance. So I think we have to work on being clear, having really clarity of what it is we want, and then how can we accomplish that. And part of that is sitting in it with it, being with yourself to go inside to find that clarity. A lot of people are out there looking out there to, you know, find the answers, and it's not outside yourself, it's inside yourself. So when I talk about clarity, it's finding it inside yourself, what it is, what does it mean for you, and being really clear. And then when we speak, we're speaking with our authentic self voice. And we're more likely to be listened to. When you come from that strength and that power within, you have to be taken seriously.
True. And sometimes leaving the, or switching off the emotions. I know, and I used to belong to the corporate world where I had to deal with men. And, you know, I did not know how to communicate effectively to man. And sometimes my emotions came up. And there's a switch that we can just switch it off. But how do we have to keep on tuning in? We have to be confident. What is the secret to dealing in today's world and being a woman? I mean, we fall back into the stereotypical.
Well, I think you're talking about, you know, the emotional reactions. I think it's important to know what you're feeling and not get caught into the emotional level of that feeling. If you understand your feelings and where they come from, so you come from a healed place versus if we get caught up in the emotion, it's like you talk about, you know, getting together and just complaining all the time. You're caught up in the emotions and you're going round and round in the emotions versus if you're in a feeling state. You know, when someone really moves you in a talk and there's this emotion level, but it's really they're sharing their feelings. And feelings are important. It's just how we share them. It's how we talk about them. And coming from a clear voice of what you're feeling versus being caught up in the emotional cycle and going around and around and around in the emotions of it, it doesn't move you forward. But if you come from the place of kind of having been looking at those emotions, where do they come from? What's the root of them? When you understand the core of those emotions, you can express the feeling in a healed manner, in a way that can be heard. Versus, there she goes again, you know, going off on this rampage and it's emotional and I don't want to listen to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Been there, done that. And move beyond, hopefully. Let's talk about your book. You've got some terrific co-writers here. I mean, just fabulous. I love Barbara Marks Hubbard. She is one of my favorite all-time people. Tell us about some of the authors in your co-writers.
Well, they were people that were at the conference, so I chose 10 for this first book. That it's their extracts from their talks. They've been transcribed and edited to be in a book. And people like Jean Houston, Isabel Allende, Marion Woodman, Angeles Arian, Barbara Marks Hubbard, as you said, Judith Orloff, Rhianne Eisler, just fabulous writers and leaders in this women's spirituality movement. And so it's just gems of wisdom. And then it's interlaced with stories and poetry and art from participants and other presenters. Our conference is a balance of we bring some of the national speakers, and then we have a lot of local, or some come from out of state too, presenters who are leaders that you wouldn't know them. You wouldn't know their name, but they're doing good. There's a lot of women out there doing great work. They're not famous. So we honor that too, and they do a lot of workshops. So there's a lot of people. There's 60 different voices in the book, and you know, I've written several chapters, and it's I think that's that the empowering voice about it is that it is the divine feminine written in all these 60 different voices. Some of them are words from songs. They're written in poetry, but they're songs. And you know, and the art, and art's such a big part of our conference. We have an art show, and and different artists have contributed to the conference, and just having that visual in the book of what the feminine is also. Is it, so you can pick up the book at any chapter and just, I like to have it by my bedside and just, you know, pick up, you know, you can read a page or you can read a chapter and you don't have to read it from the cover to cover. I did that a couple months ago for the first time because I needed to go through a second edit, and I realized, you know, I hadn't done that. So I don't know if I had ever done it because I was just, you know, working on this chapter and that chapter and putting the book together. But so it's...
I got to tell you, the artwork in here is magnificent. I love every single one of them. It just catches your eyes, and you have to stop and look at the pictures because it just, it's 1,000 words in one picture.
Mm-hmm. So it's
very, very enlightening
to read it. You know, I just got an email from someone who's on the East Coast, and she's asking from her company to pay her way to come to the conference. And she said, "Oh, the book's changed my life." She didn't really. And he says, "Oh, is this Chris, the author? Oh, the book's changed my life." And she's got a, I don't know if it's a book club or a women's circle or what. I think it might be a book club in there. It's their first book this fall that they're working on. And you know, it's just thrilling to hear because the conference has changed people's lives, but to hear that. That we have been able to do it through the book, because that was my goal, to get this message that these great people have shared here in Seattle every February, to get in a book and to get it out there to many women who can't make it to a conference like this. I mean, it's very, it's a unique conference, and I know there's many conferences all over the country in different places, but you know, not every person can get to those kinds of transformative gatherings, and so to be able to share it in a book and have it come across to people, that same feeling of that desire to empower women, and that one of the aspects about Woman of Wisdom is the importance of your story, and that came about, I mean, I noticed it from the first year that every workshop is a place where women can share their story, and in the telling of a story, there's a healing, and some people come, you know, very isolated, and they're very quiet, and they don't feel safe sharing their story, but they're sitting in a circle. Another woman is sharing her story, and she goes, "Oh," then she realizes, "I'm not the only one." It gives her permission to share her story, which allows for her healing. And so, that's also the aspect of the book is hearing different people's stories that you hear from different people, and can go, "Wow, she did that. You know, I can do that too." And
yeah,
or I relate to that person's story or whatever, and it helps us. It helps all women to have those healing stories.
Yeah, I there's a lot of stuff in here that is very inspirational for anybody to just get the momentum to go forward. Great, great stories. And I love the fact that there's so many different women in here. It gives a flavor. But it's all, you know, the same. I mean, it's not. It's all different, but yet it's the same. It's the same inspiration. It's just wonderful. What was one of your favorite authors or speakers in here?
Oh, you know, it's hard to choose. I mean, they're all so good. I love Jean Houston is always just a very powerful woman, and one woman that really sticks out because of when she came, it was early on in 1995, is Marion Widman. She's just this beautiful, wise woman, crone woman, and has written so many books about the feminine, and she's a Jung psychologist from Canada, and I loved her talk, and so I just loved her being able to, you know, be in the book. She talks about Sophia, the goddess Sophia, and you know, when I wrote the book, the last year, I just felt like I called on Sophia to be with me in this writing, to sit with me, and I could feel that presence. And she kind of calls on women to, you know, allow Sophia into their lives. And Sophia is the goddess of wisdom, and to really claim that for ourselves. And Jean Shinoda Bowman talks about circles, the importance of circles. She has the book The Millionth Circle. And Isabel Allende, her talk is her personal story, Love and Losses, and she lost her daughter, and she talks about the loves in her life, and you know, it's very personal.
Oh, yeah, that was really moving. Very, very good. Very moving. And there was another one. It was writing about a swimmer. I mean, just incredible, incredible stories. Who was writing that?
That was Angela's Arian.
Yeah, about the swimmer. Oh, what a wonderful story that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of them. I mean, for women, if they just pick up this book, they will be inspired to go forward and to change their thoughts, to shift upwards, change the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It really does reside in each one of us, doesn't it? It's up to us. We have got to choose.
That's right. It's up to us. And no one else is going to change it but ourselves for our own lives. Really taking responsibility and being accountable to your own, you know, for your own life. You know, time, and Angela Herring talks about that. It's time to stop wearing being a victim on your sleeve, you know?
Yeah.
She talked about women abandoning themselves. And there's lots of books. I've been reading a lot of books about this and how, you know, women, we're kind of taught to please others and to get the man and, you know, the love of our life and really everything but take care of ourselves and how mm-hmm. we abandon ourselves and who we are to be loved. Well, we sacrifice to be loved and wanted, and we all desire that, but what do we give up of ourselves when we do that? And actually, when we do become our true selves, that love out there will show up, because what comes mm-hmm. on the inside reflects out there on the outside. And so instead of having to hunt for it and trying to please everybody to get love, you start loving yourself. Guess what? It starts reflecting the world out there, and others are loving you without
exactly.
having to not, you know, be someone other than who you are.
You know, I love getting older because, you know, you can move away from the thought of having to have a relationship. I love not having a relationship. I love being selfish. And that might sound terrible, but you know what? I'm able to accomplish so much more. I just love the progression from women being younger to growing old. There's something about a crone that is just magnificent. And we are like fine wines. We age. We get better and better, every single one of us. And we kind of mature into our greatness, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I'm turning 60 in a month, so, or in, not even
wow.
in 3 weeks. So I can feel, I feel like I'm turning 30. You know, like there's just this, I don't know, I just feel this joy about turning 60, which is so strange. But I think we are coming of this age that, you know, women, we're honoring ourselves as we get older. And, you know, the women haven't been respected. We haven't honored our elders so much. We're not a society that honors, we sort of honor the youth. And I think it's shifting now because at baby boomers, we're getting older and we're looking at the power that we're having. I just think, I knew I was going to do something in my 50s, but I think 60 is going to be very powerful years from now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I can see that too. It's going to be great because this book is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So what's the advice that we can give to women? Get into a circle, get a support system, work on the self-esteem, and start believing in yourself to get away from being a victim. We can't really blame the men for the predicament we're in. It all comes back to us and what we choose to do. And you're a perfect example. You know, you can do anything you set your mind to, right?
That's right. I keep telling myself that. Yeah. Well, we have to. We have to, you know, because we're bombarded out there, kind of the negative of, you know, feeling like we can't. And you have to keep reminding yourself that you deserve this. You're capable. This is your gift. You've got to share it. You know, we keep having to wake up every morning and reinforce that in ourselves because we get bombarded with a lot of, you talked about fear. We're bombarded with a lot of fear. You know, you watch the news, read the media, all the stuff that's going on in the wars. We get bombarded with fear, and then we stop believing in ourselves. And we can change things around a lot just by, you know, keeping a positive attitude and knowing that we can make a difference. And that some of the authors in the book talk about how one person can make it, every one of us can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And to know that what we do makes a difference. And then there's hope. One of the authors, Frances Moreland Page, she talks about hope. We need to hear stories of hope. We need to have radio stations like yours that give hope for people. Because if we keep hearing all the fear and horrible things that happen in the world, we kind of give up. We go, well, what's the point? We can't do anything. I can't do anything to change it. So we need to have the hope. We need to have the good, powerful stories. And that the stories that show that people are making a difference and the difference of what one person can do.
Absolutely. We just keep on moving forward. Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason why we started Law of Attraction Radio Network is to keep people into conscious creating 24/7. We don't have to be, we don't have to listen to the mainstream media. We can just keep on the positive side. But then again, we are human. We're going to have this physical experience of our emotions. We've got to accept that, you know, the fear that comes up, okay, there's a place for it. But the whole thing is that we don't have to stay there. Let it come up. And then let it go.
Uh-huh.
Realize it, and that's where the friends come in. And women have this thing about we're more communicative with women so that we can be that support system. So we need to grab hold of and be around other positive women instead of and be more selective. You know, they always say, a winner hangs around with another winner, and that's how it is with the positive mindset, too. You hang around people who's going to motivate you to go and expand more. So, you know, if you're in a rut, you recognize it, and then you move forward from there. You know, it still comes down to the very powerful law of attraction. What we think, we get back.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to let go of people if they're not
absolutely
in the right frame, you know, for you to be around. It's toxic to be around negative people, and it's either you have to let them know that it's almost like setting boundaries, like I'm not going to listen to this in one way or the other, or you might have to drop them as a friend if it's really toxic for you and it keeps you down. You got to look at and make discernment of, you know, who are positive forces in your life, and what is negative ones?
Mm-hmm. Are we ever going to get to the place where we can stop thinking in terms of men and women and white or black or brown or yellow? Are we ever going to get to that point where we can just see a person as an individual instead of referencing them to another? Can we get there?
I think we can. I think we have a ways to go. I think it takes healing. I think the feminine needs to be brought up to be in balance with the masculine, and the feminine needs to be honored and just as respected in the way we do things in our society as the masculine. And so until there's a balance, we have to focus on you know, strengthening the female, and so there is a separation. And I think once there's a shift and we get there, then perhaps we won't be. There won't be a need to. There's a need to right now because there's an imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Huge imbalance. But that's okay. We're balancing it. You know, it's still a really, really wonderful time. And like you said, we are expanding right now. We just need to keep on going even further. What is with did you got to meet Barbara Marx Hubbard, huh?
Yes.
And how is she in real life? I can imagine she's absolutely delightful.
Well, she came, well, actually the first year she was to come, she got sick and couldn't come. And then let's see, what year was it? Maybe 2006. Jean Houston was to come and she got sick and Barbara Marx Hubbard took her place. So that was, and she, you know, she's just a delight, just a really bright light, and it's so fun to see someone that's so alive at her age, you know, and just so full of zest and passion in the work she does, and it's all about mm-hmm. co-creating, you know, our reality and working with everybody to create. She's working with men and women to bring them together in that whole co-creative process of changing our world and just doing a lot of very, very positive things. And I know she was an inspiration to many people.
Oh, yeah. She is incredible. She has such a wonderful futuristic outlook, and it's so positive. It's just very inspiring. Matter of fact, I am going to get her on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, since she's been on the network, but I'm going to get her on. I'm thoroughly looking forward to her, and I'm going to have to really check out Jean Houston. What is Jean like?
Oh, Jean's just a power force. She is just marvelous. We've had her a couple times, and she's very supportive of Woman of Wisdom and the work we do. And I remember sitting in my office and talking with her, and you know, she said she's traveling around the world doing conferences, and she was able to see that, like, there's nothing like this in the world, Woman of Wisdom. There's nothing like this. And just really supports the work we do. So I'm just really appreciative of Jean. And she is just a brilliant mind, you know, just brilliant. And I'm looking at, let's see, I could read something of what she wrote in Ending, last chapter. I put her in the last chapter. She says, "You are telling your stories, and you must continue to tell your stories, because solutions to the problems facing the future will arise from the subjective world, from the unfolding of levels of understanding, from the implicate order that is held in the metaphysical womb that you all contain, which is gestating a world to come. This nonlinear mind we hold is the mother mind. It is not analytical or sequential, but is by and large circular, empathic, and narrative." Those are just some of her words.
Oh, yeah, she's good. Hey, while you got the book out, read the one about the swimmer. That is, I just love that story. Let me see, I got a page number for you. It is page chapter 3.
Oh, I have it right here. I have it.
Read that story. It's magnificent.
Okay, and it's in the Chicken Soup of the Soul, one of the books. So it's about Florence Chadwick. When she looked ahead, she saw nothing but a solid wall of fog. She's swimming across from
Catalina.
Yeah. Nothing but a solid wall of fog. Her body was numb. She had been swimming for 16 hours. Already she was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. Now at age 34, her goal was to be the first woman to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. On that 4th of July morning in 1952, the sea was like an ice bath, and the fog was so dense she could hardly see the support ropes. Sharks cruised through the water toward her lone figure, only to be frightened away by rifle shots. Against the frigid grip of the sea, she struggled hour after hour after hour while millions watched on national TV. Alongside her in one of the boats, her mother and her trainer offered encouragement. Her mother told Florence it wasn't much further, but all she could see was fog. They urged her not to quit. She had never quit until then. With only half a mile to go, she asked to be pulled out. Still thawing her chilled body several hours later, she told a reporter, "Look, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could only have seen land, I might have made it." It was not fatigue or even the cold water that defeated her. It was the fog. She was unable to see her goal, and she stopped swimming. 2 months later, she tried again. This time, despite the same dense fog, she swam with her faith intact and her goal clearly pictured in her mind. She knew that somewhere behind that fog was land, and this time she made it. Florence Chadwick became the first woman to swim the Catalina Channel, eclipsing the men's record by 2 hours. And Angela says, "And that's a healing story."
Absolutely. Gosh, that was great. Great, great, great. Well, what are your future plans? When's your next conference?
Our conference is February 11th to the 15th, 2010. We'd love to have everybody come. It's a Presence Day weekend, so you know, it's a three-day weekend. And our guests are Donna Eden, who's the author of Energy Medicine, and she has a new book out, Energy Medicine for Women, and Joan Borisenko, who has a new book out of I don't remember the exact title, but it's about being resilient in times of change, which is a message mm-hmm. we need to hear. And many, many great workshops from women all over. So it's just, you know, come and immerse yourself. And one of the best things about coming to the conference is the people you meet. And it's the connections in between the workshops, and not so much like going to a workshop. It's just those are great, but it's the people you meet in them and the people you meet in between them. And it's just, you know, and it's a good time to be in Seattle. It's not as cold here as other places in the country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd like to share where people can get the book.
Yeah.
My website is wisewomanpublishing.com, and that's woman singular, wisewomanpublishing.com. And right now I had an Amazon campaign in June, and there are still bonuses. So if you buy the book, go to the web page, and there's a link to Amazon, and I encourage people to do it there because the Amazon link on my site helps Woman of Wisdom also. And then they come back to the site, and you have to sign up for the Woman of Wisdom newsletter, but you'll get a link to a bonus gift page where there's different bonuses. Like there's something from Barbara Marks Hubbard. There's a great a video on herbal things from Susan Weed and many other wonderful gifts that are still up on the website. You'll get a link to where they are and when you buy the book. And also, I want to give the website to Women of Wisdom is womenofwisdom.org. And within the next month, we'll have information about, we have basic information, but we're just finishing our program. So in about a month, we'll have our website up of all the details of the conference. But when you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get emails about, you know, telling you about the conference and everything. So
wonderful, wonderful. It sounds like you got some great people coming. I love Joan Boretsky. How do you say that? I always get stuck on that. She is a Hay House author, and she's phenomenal.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, we've had her. Actually, it's been years. She was here, I think, in 1997. So it's been many years since she's been here for us. Looking forward to seeing her.
And are we moving forward with women in the health? I mean, before there was some real issues that women were not getting their treatment in health. Is that changing?
I don't know. I mean, that's not my field. I don't know that much about it. I know you hear kind of things, and I think it's going to change. I think it's up to us to demand the change, you know, to ban. I think it's important having, my husband just had a kidney transplant, and then watching my mother, she died, she was 91, it was 5 years ago, she passed away at 91, but just being in the hospital for 5 weeks, and needing to be an advocate for patients like that, that you need to speak up for what it is you want, and if you aren't getting it, you need to change doctors or change, you know, you need to ask, you know, there's lots of alternative practices out there, naturopath doctors or people that will listen to you, you know, get the right answers, get the right medical support. I think it's up to us to demand it, be our own advocates. And sometimes we can't be our own, so we need someone else to be an advocate for us.
Right.
You know, because you just need it. You know, it's just like your father being in the hospital, you probably know you need to be there.
Yeah, I do, but again, I think what I needed was totally different from my belief systems as his. I mean, he believes in traditional medicine, and where I don't. I mean, I'm to the point where I'm almost absolutely opposed to it. So, you know, I've got to let him be where he needs to be so that he can heal. If he took the alternative route that I would prefer, would he really be able to heal because of his beliefs? So, you know, I've got to understand it's not all about me being happy.
He's in a hospital, even being in a hospital, of being there to make sure he gets the right, you know, medical treatment.
Absolutely.
Doing the correct things, and it needs that second eye. The nurses are busy. They're overloaded. They're busy, and you have to make sure that they're, you know, they're not giving them the wrong medicine, or they're not giving them blood pressure in the wrong arm. It's all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's kind of amazing, but when you sit there with somebody, you start seeing that, and so I think it's a matter of we need to take charge of our own health, and
absolutely,
and our choices, and ask the questions. You know, get informed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you're right. We have to take responsibility for every aspect of our life. You know, even if we're in an abusive relationship, we've got to understand why we're there. We do have the option of leaving. I don't care if you say you have no money, you have nothing, you still have the free will to walk away. You will always have that. So the responsibility, again, comes back to us.
Yes.
Always. So it's up to us to, like you said earlier, not to be a victim. Well, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us this terrific book, Women of Wisdom. It's been delightful. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to talk to you.
And we'll send up everybody to Seattle for the next conference in February.
Oh, that'd be great. It's going to be a great conference. The energy last year was fabulous, and we're expecting it to be even better this year.
Oh, how wonderful. I'm sure it's going to be great, and I thank you very much for doing this and for helping women just to expand. I think that's extremely important. So thanks, Chris. I really loved it. And to all of the wonderful listeners out there, we will talk to you next week. Good night.
Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.